go ahead and, if you will, and open up with me in your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel 17. This will be very familiar and maybe even a favorite for some. But we're going to talk about David and Goliath today. 1 Samuel 17, verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, somewhere 9 feet or so. And he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. And he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. All right. Now, we all have giants that we face. Let me tell you a couple of things about these giants. Giants, you know, are real. They're big. They're scary. And they can inflict a lot of damage. But they're also liars. Okay? Here's the thing. Now, if the champion of Israel really beat Goliath, do you think they all would have just laid down their swords and shields and said, "You win"? No. Because that's what happened. David does kill Goliath, and they all started fighting anyway. Nobody laid down their shields. No one laid down their swords. Are you listening to me? So you start compromising with the enemies of your soul. That's just a trap. You know, if you do this, I'll leave you alone. That never really works, does it? Whatever you compromise, then the enemy will want to take more and more ground against you. And so that is just a lie. That's just that's exactly what happened. David does kill Goliath, does he not? But have you ever been there where you really just went ahead and compromised something that you knew you shouldn't do? And like you thought, okay, well then it'll be over. It's not over. I mean, whatever ground you give up, the devil will take more. So here's the thing. Why are all these guys so afraid of one guy? I mean, wasn't there a whole bunch of them? I mean, why do you have to agree with the enemy? Why does he get to set the rules? I'm just telling you, we have such... I hate to get into really deep doctrine and theology here, but really, if I hear one more person say everything happens for a reason, I just want to scream sometimes. Could that reason be a bad reason? Could that reason be a reason from the enemy and really not from God? I mean, here's all these people. They have this covenant with God that God says that, you know, they're the sons of Abraham. When God made a covenant with Abraham, he said, you know, "I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you." All right? And we have this other in Deuteronomy 28. It says that the enemy will come against you one way and flee from you seven ways. And so we have all these promises from God that if we come under attack, that we should expect to be victorious. And even in the New Testament, we have in Romans chapter 8 that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us, right? So the suggestion that we're more than conquerors, number one, suggests there's going to be a battle, suggests there's going to be opposition, suggests that we're going to be under attack. So the fact that you're under attack doesn't mean you've done something wrong or that you're supposed to be defeated. Or whatever happens, happens. Or whatever was supposed to happen is going to happen. Now, I just don't see any of the Bible characters that we read about, that we follow, that we listen to, just kind of throw up their hands in the air and just say, hey, whatever happens was supposed to happen. You know, everything happens for a reason. I guess, we're not supposed to win them all. I just don't understand that, because we have David and Goliath. And David, just the youngest of all the sons, the least of the least, although God had anointed him to be king, his father said to David, go check on your brothers. Three of the oldest brothers of Jesse had gone to war with Saul. And they were all fighting and so forth. But here they are at this impasse, at the Valley of Elah. You have Israel on one side and you have the Philistines on the other side. And they have this great champion. And Jesse, the father, says to David, go check on your brothers, take them some food, take some cheese to the captain of their thousand, and go bring a report back to me what's going on. And so David shows up at this scene and he starts hearing what's going on. And we're going to pick this up. Verse 25. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, No, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for this man who kills him. Now, the first important point is right here in verse 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why do you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. Now, the thing that we need to know, number one, is that it takes faith to kill giants. All right. Now, what I want to say to you is David and Goliath is not a miracle story from the Bible. This isn't one of the Bible miracles. No miracle took place in David and Goliath. It's not a miracle story. It's no miracle that David killed Goliath, but it is a faith story. It's how faith works, how faith in God works. OK. Second thing I want you to know is faith always lives battle ready. Faith lives battle ready. When David shows up, he's ready to do battle. I mean, he was just going to check up on his brothers. He was just going to check up on the progress of what's happening, you know, with the battle. You know, they don't have cell phones. They don't have CNN. They don't know what's going on. So they had to go find out. They don't know there's a giant. They don't know anything about this. But when David shows up, you can tell he's just ready. He didn't know he was going to encounter an enemy that day, but he was ready for battle, was he not? The other thing is faith is confident. Now your confidence sometimes in the Lord will pass as pride and insolence. The brother said, oh my gosh, David, you're always this way. What is wrong with you? You're so full of pride. But David was not full of pride. He was full of confidence, and there's a difference. And I'm telling you, people will try to talk you out of your confidence sometimes, and they'll try to drag you back to the herd. Are you listening to me? And I'm telling you, that's a lie from the and he'll use the important people in your life to do so. Your family members, the people you grew up with, the people you go to church with. sometimes we'll say, that's just a little out there. I mean, we don't know anybody that's done anything like that. No one in our family's done anything like this before. I mean, these are the big older brothers. David is this teenager still. He's still not fully developed. We get a description of him a little bit later that you know, David might be a pretty boy. I mean, David at this point in his life, you know, he goes and plays music for Saul to soothe his demons, right? I mean, so he's a choir boy. He's a pretty boy. Are you listening to me? Come on, somebody. I mean, you know, we're not thinking this great and mighty warrior when you look at David. He's a teenager. And maybe even cute. I don't know. I mean, he just... I said, who are you, David? The brothers are like, come on. Why do you always have to be different? Why do you... Come on. It reminds you of like Joseph and his brothers. And I'm telling you, the people closest to you will try to drag you back when God's got something great on the inside of you, and don't let them do it to you. Hebrews 11:1, hold your place here. I just want you to see it in your own Bible. I hope you bring your Bible to church, or at least you have it on your phone or something real handy. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. But another way to say this, faith is the realization of things hoped for, and it's the confidence. It's the confidence. New American Standard may use the word confidence, but there's a confidence to faith. What causes a person to be confident? I mean, I was not a great tennis player, but I was just the best we had on our team in high school, okay? I wasn't great, but I was the best we had. So I was a local legend in my own mind. But I remember playing this kid from Columbia in this tournament, and I had him down like 5-0 in the first set. And all of a sudden, he remembered who he was. And the fact that he didn't know me was a real tell for him. Because if I was really good, he would have known who I was, because his dad owned the racket club in Columbia. And all of a sudden, his confidence kicked back in. At first, you know, I kind of caught him off guard. This little scrawny kid from Chillicothe he'd never heard of. And I was getting everything back that he was putting at me. And it just kind of put him off his game for just a moment. And then all of a sudden, he remembered he was somebody. He remembered that he was somebody other people knew about. And his confidence kicked in. And he beat me 7-5, 6-0. All right, are you following me? I mean, he never lost another game when he remembered who he was, and he looked at me like, who are you? All right? I'm telling you, there's a confidence to faith. When you know who you are, when you know whose you are, you know what belongs to you, you know what you're supposed to be accomplishing. That's why you need the Word of God on the inside of you, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and faith is confidence. I mean, when you have faith operating, you know what's going to happen before it happens. There was a confidence in Michelle and I when we turned over our church in Chillicothe in August and came over to St. Joseph, not really knowing anybody that wanted to do church with us, except maybe one couple. But there's a confidence in us that we've heard from God, and that we will build this church, and we actually will build churches all throughout North Missouri, because that vision came a few years ago. And come on, somebody, this is our fourth location in 4 years. There's a confidence, but that can sound cocky. That can sound prideful. That can sound insolent when you got to be careful how you share it and where you share it. Come on, somebody. But people will try to go, oh, come on. I was in one meeting with our, you know, board of advisors, and I don't know who all was there. And somebody started to say, you know, somebody kind of important in our church just doesn't think this is going to work. And I first thought, well, who is it? Who doesn't believe in me? And I thought, I don't want to know. And two, they just haven't heard from God, but I have. And there's a confidence then. I don't know what you've heard from God, but don't let your brothers, the people you grew up with, let the people at work, don't let people that don't have the word from God talk you out of what God told you. And David said, and you're going to notice that David says over and over and over again, verse 29, and David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? And he turned to him towards another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they were reported to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight him. You're a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, struck it, delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. The other thing I want you to notice here is that faith speaks. Jesus teaching his disciples about faith, Jesus spoke to the fig tree, let no one ever eat fruit of you ever again. And they went back the next day, and that fig tree was dried up from the roots, found in Mark chapter 11. And verse 21, the disciples said, look, Lord, the fig tree that you cursed, it's dead. Mark 11:22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Verse 23 teaches us very, very something very, very powerful about faith. He said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says shall come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Faith speaks. Faith speaks out what God has said. God speaks and then we speak. That's how faith works. God speaks and we speak. God puts something in our heart and we declare it with our mouth. Before we do something, we declare that thing. Are you listening to me? It's very important if you're going to operate by faith to speak what you know God is about to do. It holds you accountable to that. You know, several years ago now, a young missionary evangelist named Dominic Russo called me on the telephone. He said, Pastor Stan, God's put in my heart. We've known Dominic since he was a young guy in ministry. He said, God's put in my heart to go to countries and preach the gospel to the entire nation in one day. And so he said, I'm going to take 2,000 missionaries to these countries. We're going to go into every state of that country. We're going to be in every school. We're going to be in the churches. And then we're going to be in all the, you know, the big like soccer stadiums. In the biggest ones in every state of this country. And he said, you're the first guy I've talked to about this. He said, do you want to go? I said, yeah, we'll go. He said, do you want to take a state? I said, yeah, we'll take a state. What did I just agree to? He said, $30,000 for your state. And you need to bring about 100 missionaries with you to cover. I said, I'll bring all the people I can, but you can count on me for the $30,000. Did I have $30,000 to do that? No, but faith speaks. I will do this, and we did it. And we went to Ocotepeque, Honduras. Michelle and I and a team from our church and a team from Oklahoma, and we did. We preached the gospel in this whole country. The whole country heard the gospel in one night. Or listen, we were on television, we were on the radio, we were in every single school in the country. And he's done that over and over again. Now, he'd never done that before. And this summer, he's taken about 3,000 this summer. We kind of had to take the summer off to kind of do this St. Joe thing, all right? But I said, we'll be back. We'll be back, and we'll take big teams again. But over and over and over again, that's how faith works. God will put something in your heart, and you declare it with your mouth. Several years ago, God put in our heart to start a big food pantry in Chillicothe. And so I just declared we were going to do it. I didn't know how we were going to do it. I didn't know where we were going to get the money. I didn't know. But today, man, we have a big warehouse space that's been donated to us. And it fills up with food. And people line up and receive a week's worth of groceries every month. Praise God. Because God just speaks and you speak. And you just declare the thing before it happens. And David just said, don't worry about this guy. I'll take care of him. Let your heart be settled, be at peace. I'm here, and I'm going to kill the giant. And Saul says, you're just a kid. No way you can do this thing. No way you can do this thing. Look, most of the things that God ever told us to do, we had no idea how we were going to do it. And if you would have looked at us in the natural realm, there's no way we could have done it. I mean, God spoke to Michelle and I, you know, about starting a Christian radio station in Chillicothe. I didn't know anything about Christian radio. I didn't know anything about radio. But declared we'd do it. And that was about 15 years ago. And that station is still on the air. And I'm just telling you, God speaks to your heart and you just declare it with your mouth. And then God shows up and does something big. Are you listening to me? And that's what's happening here. The other thing is your past victories will encourage you, will encourage you towards today's giant. You know why we're going to build a great church here in this region? Because of those things I just told you about. God spoke to our heart before. We stepped out in faith and did what God told us to do. And God always shows up and backs, what he told us to do. So God's victories in our past gives us encouragement that he'll do it again. And the reason I tell you stories, because maybe you're just starting your faith journey. Maybe you don't have a whole litany of victories. You don't have your own sheet to go back to and go, God did this and God did that and God did the other thing. So I'm just going to tell you stories because there's nothing special about Michelle and I except one thing. We will be obedient to God. We will do what God told us to do. You want big miracles in your life? How many of you just like want big miracles? Come on. All right. Can I tell you something about miracles? Miracles don't happen because people prayed necessarily. A lot of people pray. You know where big miracles show up? Is when people step out in obedience and do what God told them to do. You don't think these guys were all praying, oh God, deliver us from Goliath? But was anybody getting victory over their giant until David showed up? You know, David showing up possibly was an answer to their prayers. Several years ago, we got a revelation from God. I want you to think about how often God answers your prayer in the form of another person. The right person shows up at the right time in your life. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, we're contemplating, starting this church, and long story short, we're praying about that, and I'm on the phone with a certain guy that I know that knows St. Joseph a little bit. He said, that's real interesting. He said, I just happened to have somebody that just contacted us a few days ago. Let's get together and have dinner. That's how this church started. God answered our prayer in the form of another person. Are you listening to me? I want to be the answer to people's prayers sometimes. I want to be David and show up and go, hey, I got this. Are you listening to me? I mean, we shouldn't always be on the needy end of things. Sometimes we ought to be on the end of, hey, I'll do that. You ever volunteer for something and you go, ooh, what did I just get myself into? Man, don't shy away from those sometimes. Sometimes those are just God. Are you listening to? But those past victories in David's life, he said, what's the difference? Lion, bear, giant. I mean, God delivered. Here's the thing. You hardly ever know you're going to need that kind of faith until you need it. That's why you have to live ready. That's why you build yourself up in faith every day. That's why spiritual disciplines are important. That's why we get up and we seek first the kingdom of God. That's why we hide God's word in our heart, because we wake up someday. I mean, have you ever just been minding your own business and all of a sudden you wake up one day and it's a bad day? Like, come on. Like, you weren't prepared for this mentally, but all of a sudden everything in you now is going into defense and attack mode because you are now facing a giant. Giants rarely show up in our life, you know, announced way in advance. David shows up on the scene and has no idea what he's getting into, but I'm telling you, he's ready. Ready for that moment. And he just very quickly says, I'll take care of this. Are you kidding me? Tax-free, my family tax-free, the king's daughter and a lot of money. Let's do this thing. David said, your servant has seen these kinds of victories before. Now we know the whole thing. Saul says, well, why don't you wear my armor? It doesn't fit him. We're not going to get into that too much. I mean, look, when you're facing your giant, it's not time to start trying out new stuff. When you're facing your giant, you better know what you know, and you better be ready to play with the tools you already have in your belt. Are you listening to me? So I'm telling you, this story of David and Goliath is about being prepared more than anything else. I don't know how many people that there's this young couple we know, and all of a sudden they're at church all the time. And Michelle looked at me the other day and said, not here, and just said, they must be going through something. Why? We only really see them when they're really going through something. And guys, they're trying to put on Saul's armor. It's really not fitting them. Come on, David said, I don't need all this. Look, I know how to take care of this because this is my daily thing. Come on, I'm prepared. As a shepherd, I'm here to guard and protect. And if the wild animal comes, I know how to do this. I'm telling you, you've got to live ready because any day can be that day. Any day can be that day. You wake up and you weren't expecting it, but now you've got a giant to take care of. And you can just go, you know, things happen for a reason, and just lie down and be defeated. Or you can rise up and go, I've got this. And I've got this attitude comes from that confidence of staying in the Word of God, staying in the presence of God, living ready for battle. And you are ready now to take this on. But if you wait for the crisis to start seeking God, you wait for the crisis to start looking for your scripture, man, it's too late. That giant is going to eat your lunch. And you're just going to be there paralyzed, not knowing what to do. Got to live ready for that battle. I want to point out a couple things and we're going to wrap this. All right. Verse 45. Back it up to about verse 42. So we know that David goes into the brook, finds five smooth stones. Michelle and I were in Israel one time in our life. It was a great trip. And we did go to the battle site of David and Goliath. We were at the Valley of Elah. And I went down to that brook and I grabbed five smooth stones and brought them home. That's my memento from my Israel trip. Five smooth stones. I mean, just think of like a bullet, all right? Five smooth stones in a slingshot. And you know, and I've got them. They're in my in my study at home. He said, and so he's standing there. Here's this giant in all his armor, and, you know, he's just, you know, this menacing figure. He's enormous. You know, all of his weapons are the biggest things they've ever seen. You know, if a normal spear is this big, you know, this big around, you know, Goliath's spear is this big around. I mean, it's just intimidating in every way. And there's just some intimidating things in life. And here's David just, you know, in his little teenage body, you know, and his little slingshot and his rocks. Right? And this big booming giant is like, am I a dog? I mean, are you guys kidding me? I've been here 40 days challenging you, and you send out a scrawny little kid to me. He said to the Philistine, verse 43, said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and with spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. When Peter and John came to the beautiful gate at the hour of prayer, there was a man sitting there begging. And Peter and John looked at him, and they weren't carrying money with them that day, but they had something. They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Such as I have will give you what we have. And he said, in the name of Jesus. David said, you come to me with all your weapons. All I've really got is the name of my God. But that's more than enough. Because that's one of the names of God. He's the God who's more than enough. We know that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. It really doesn't matter how big your giant is. It only matters how big your God is. It doesn't matter how big the challenge is. It only matters the faith that you have in God. Are you listening to me today? Verse 46, David says the most interesting things. I want you to think, what does David have on him? What weapons does David have? He has his sling, and he has some bullets, some rocks, right? That's it. He left Saul's armor, he left Saul's sword, right? David's about to say something that caught my attention. Look at verse 46. David says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. How's David going to take his head with a slingshot? Here's where most people miss it in faith. Almost everything God ever significant thing God ever told us to do, I had no idea. I had no idea how we would do that thing until we actually did it. But most people won't start until they have every answer to every question. Then what? Then what? Then what? Then what? Then what? There's so many people that have a call of God on their life that never get started because they don't get every question answered. Are you listening to me? David said, today, I'm taking your head. You know, you think David really thought that whole thing through before he said it? He's got a slingshot, no sword. But I'm going to cut your head off. Well, how are you going to do that, Dave? I don't know, but that's what's going to happen. You watch. I mean, people ask me all the time. I mean, I have to talk to bankers. I have to talk to our board. And, you know, some of those guys want to go, well, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? How are you going to do the other thing? I don't know.
We're going to show up. We're going to show up and get started. Now, you ought to do all the planning that you can do. But I'm telling you, you're not going to get every question answered before you start a great thing. You're not going to get every objection rectified. You know, it's just not. David said, I'm going to cut off your head today. I guess he's just going to wait and let the particulars work themselves out. And isn't that what happened? David starts yelling at this guy. I come to you in the name of the Lord my God, and I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds of the air. And all this assembly is going to know that there is a Lord who does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and I'm going to give you into his hands, and he's going to give you into our hands. And so it was. Verse 48, the Philistine arose and came near to meet David, and David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistines. David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone. Now listen, this is not a miracle. David's killed lions and he's killed bears. David's good with his slingshot. This isn't a miracle shot. David knew he could put that between that guy's eyes. I mean, it's a big target. He's got a humongous head. See, if you turn David and Goliath into a miracle story, then you can't put yourself in the story. But it's not a miracle. David was ready for this day. David was practiced. You need to get up and practice the things of God. It's a walk with the Lord every day. So when that battle comes, you know that you're going to be victorious. He knew he could put that between that guy's eyes. He was too big to miss. So he slung that thing, put it between his eyes, and dropped the guy. And David said, oh, I know what's going to happen now. He just let go of his sword. David took off Goliath's head with Goliath's own sword. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just got to go ahead and do what you can do right now and trust God. Are you listening to me? Trust God, and it will work itself out. I had no idea, where we were going to put kids in this building. I mean, that little space we have behind the wall is about big enough to be our nursery. But we had an idea. Let's go find a trailer. And we had an idea of how much we wanted to pay, $5,000. And everything we were looking for, and Erica was looking for trailers all the time, they were like $30,000, $25,000, $30,000. I didn't have $25,000, $30,000. I didn't have $5,000, but I could believe for $5,000. All right, are you listening to me? And so we just said, we're gonna put a trailer back there when we didn't have a trailer. How many of you were here long enough ago to realize we said a long time ago, we're going to put a children's trailer out back, right? Did we have a children's trailer? Did we know how to get a children's trailer? We even met with a guy. Aaron and Eric and I met with this representative, a guy that liked to sell trailers, and he liked them a lot. I mean, he wanted to lease us. He wanted to lease us a trailer for a whole bunch of money or sell us one for like $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. And I'm like, no, $5,000. Eric calls me. Michelle and I are in Tulsa. He said, found the trailer. Talked the guy down to $5,000. I said, is it something we want? He said, man, this thing's enormous. That thing's twice as big as what anything I ever had in my mind. Twice as big. I went into it last night when we got here and in the dark and looked around. I thought, wow, this place is huge. I mean, it's huge compared to the whole, you know, what we've got going on here, all right? I'm just telling you, we said that before we had any idea how it was going to come to pass. And it's sitting out back, city approved, set on the ground, and ready for us to start making it happen. You know what will happen next? That thing will fill up with kids. Fill up, fill up, fill up with kids. Come on, somebody. More than once on a weekend. Multiple times on a weekend. Why? Because that's just what God put in our heart to do. We didn't know how, but we just did it. We just stepped out in faith. That's how it works. That's how it works in your life.
faith acts before the entire plan is revealed. Now, here's the part of the story I'm going to finish. Gosh, I talked too long. When you're a preacher, that's just one of the hazards, is that you just get excited and you just start talking too long. All right, here's the last thing I want you to realize. David cut off Goliath's head. This is a little bit creepy, okay? He didn't just leave it there. He, like, took it with him. He did. And the Valley of Elah is like 20-something miles from Bethlehem, where David is from. And David, after he kills a whole bunch of Philistines, he takes this giant's head to Jerusalem. Very significant. Now, Jerusalem is 10 miles or 5-10 miles straight north of Bethlehem. So David doesn't take the head home and say, "Hey, look, Dad, I got me a giant head. Hey, the boys are doing okay. We killed a giant. Everything's cool." No, he doesn't even stop at home. He goes to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is very interesting that he goes to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is not under the jurisdiction of Judah and the Israelites or King Saul. It's a Jebusite stronghold. It's a walled city that it's not under control of the Jewish people. It is under the control of another government. David takes this head of the giant, I think, just to make a statement. I think he takes the head of the giant and holds it up and says, "Hey, guys, up on the wall. Anybody ever heard of Goliath?" They had. "I'll be back." Does a mic drop. And he does. Because faith isn't always just about today, but faith had a vision for the future. Today's victory is just preparing you for tomorrow's battle. What you're going through today, come on somebody, isn't just about today. It's about even what God is preparing for you for things to come. Man, I'm telling you, there's nothing like living by faith. There's nothing about just stepping out with nothing underfoot except what God said. What God said. What God said. And some of you guys are, I mean, you're just my favorite people, because you showed up before we proved it. You showed up, come on, when there's a lot of empty seats. I mean, you must be like faith people or something. Like, how are we going to do this thing? I don't know, but isn't it going to be fun to find out? Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please, this morning? Last Sunday, we baptized 4 people in water, and what a glorious day. People coming out of darkness and into the light. People that were spiritually dead, now spiritually alive. People that were away from God are now part of the family of God. You know, I don't know about you, but you this day could call on the name of the Lord Jesus and that same thing happen with you. You could come out of darkness into the light. You could have your sins forgiven and your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can become a new creation in Christ Jesus, and old things pass away and all things become new. Because whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is God's Son and that God raised Him again from the dead, you shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that anybody in the room today? Say, "I need to receive forgiveness of my sins, and I'm ready to confess Jesus as Savior and Lord of my life. I'm ready to have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm ready to start my journey of faith, of following Christ with my life. I'm ready to be part of God's family." Is that you? Anybody in the room today? Say, "I want to call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved today." Well, Father, we thank You today. for faith to kill giants. Lord, help us to live ready. Live battle ready. Lord, that we would live a spiritual, disciplined life and fill ourselves with the Word of God and with boldness and with confidence. Lord, I pray that if we're facing a giant today, that You would remind us of victories that You and the way that You've brought us through in the past. That it would cause us to have boldness and confidence that You'll get us through today. And I pray, Father, that You give us a vision for our life, for the future, in Jesus' name. Amen.